Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I found it. Thanks, Caden. It was buried under a couple of other things in the stack of stuff here. You can't start your Monday without the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Lots of news in the hot sheet this morning here as well. Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal kicking off this Monday, as always, as we get back to business. Evelyn, happy Monday to you. All sorts of good news out there. The headline that stood out to me, and I don't know what I'm referencing right now. I'll bet Kelly in Glasgow could tell me, or maybe John Jackson if he was here. There's more oil in them thar hills. I don't know what movie or whatever that's from, but that's what I thought of when I saw your headline. More oil in those hills. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes. I'm kind of surprised. I guess this is this report about the Bakken and that there's still a lot of oil in the Bakken is a result of some reports saying that it was just about over, and I just am amazed at that, you know, report, because when they first announced the Bakken, I should say when we first announced it, we were probably the first newspaper to have a report on the Bakken. I mean, we got all kinds of attention nationally because we posted it, and holy cow, everybody in the world was reading it. But the Bakken is huge. I mean, it underlies most of North Dakota, and it extends clear to Three Forks, Montana. So it's a huge, huge reservoir, and you know, I think different parts of it is more more productive or potentially more productive than others. But really, to think that it was already drained away is hard to believe that anybody is thinking that. So, yeah
they always want to think that they want us to think that we're running out of oil. Game over, no more oil here. And then it's like, wow, we keep finding more and accessing more, of course, with the great innovation and engineers that are out there in the industry, much more, many of whom are trained right here in Montana institutions. Yeah. So this is a story, Nathan Anderson, the director of the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, and Ed Murphy, North Dakota State geologist, just announced the completion of this study. To date, over 360 horizontal wells have been drilled and completed in the Middle Three Forks, which have produced over 92 million barrels of oil and 238 billion cubic feet of gas. Interesting, very interesting report here. I also just posted a story on our Montana Talks website here about an oil company apparently launching a new drilling project here in Montana. And Kelly in Glasgow, if you're still listening in, I know you were here with us for the 6 o'clock hour. Check out this story if you haven't seen it yet. Stock Titan reports that a Texas-based company is launching a significant exploratory oil drilling project near the Fort Peck Reservation. So stand by.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered flurries or a snow shower around the area early today, high temperature readings will otherwise stay from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures will head back in the mid-teens in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings. On Tuesday, some sunshine develops with highs in the lower to middle 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
It's January 13th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Sticker Day. Whether you like scratch and sniff, puffy, or with goofy googly eyes, there's no wrong way to celebrate. The day is actually meant to honor the man who created the adhesive label with removable backing, R. Stanton Avery, born in 1907. Also on this date in 1979, the YMCA filed a lawsuit against the Village People for their song, YMCA, over trademark infringement. Eventually, the matter was settled out of court, and actually, the YMCA later said they were proud of the song for the positive way it portrayed their organization. And baseball legend Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves was elected to the Hall of Fame in 1982. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the creator of Grey's Anatomy, Shonda Rhimes, born in 1970. And one of the stars of Grey's Anatomy, McDreamy himself, actor Patrick Dempsey, born in 1966. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, sticky melody.
Careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with a crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. You know, Evelyn, when you were talking about how you were one of the first papers, one of the first news outlets in the entire country to talk about rocking the Bakken. I don't know if you came up with that phrase, but you talked about how they were going to, you know, how they now found this massive opportunity in the North Dakota and Montana Bakken oil field. And so, I'll bet if we went back and found the audio when I was on the radio probably that week, I'll bet we probably had you on the radio back then talking about it, too. Kind of fun to think about that.
Well, no, it was a while before people locally really caught on to it. It was nationally that oil investors and stuff were, you know, it looked like they were, you know, forwarding our article from one person to another or something. But it's really a funny story because there was somebody in the Carter administration, some geologist, who kind of was leading me along, telling me, you got to look at this report here. And I, of course, didn't understand it. And so he was but a couple of different conversations with him where he had to explain to me the significance of things. And finally, it started dawning. I'm going, holy cow, this is big. But anyway, it was a fun experience. So
yeah,
I'll have to find that now.
You should. That'd be fun. We could do like a throwback Thursday on that one as well. But yeah, so this story, I hadn't seen anything about this anywhere yet. So hats off to Will Gordon, one of our Bozeman contributors, for finding this. I've got this story on our Montana Talks website. Stock Titan is reporting that a Texas-based company, Laredo Oil, is launching a significant exploratory oil drilling project in Montana. They've acquired over 30,000 acres of the West Fork field near the Fort Peck Reservation to determine its viability as a potential oil-producing field. Apparently, they will immediately start studying and exploring the area. And then, of course, until they finish their studies and their surveys, they won't know how much oil it can produce. But yeah, kind of exciting to read about that opportunity and more economic potential, especially for rural Montana. You know, our major cities, if you want to call them that, have seen a lot of economic growth. Maybe some people might describe it as too much growth in some places like Bozeman and Kalispell, et cetera. But our rural areas really need that boost.
Yeah, I don't know if, many people realize, but a lot of the reason North Dakota was the focus of developing this oil is because Montana just didn't have the policies and attitude of welcoming the oil companies. And so rather than hassle with Montana's barriers, they just went to North Dakota. So I think there's a huge untapped potential in Montana that hopefully is maybe loosening up with some of the improvements in our state laws and everything.
But that's right. Yeah, because we still, at the time that they started rocking the Bakken, we still had Democratic governors here in Montana, and we still had holdover policies from the, holdover radical environmental policies that have really been destroying our industrial base here in Montana going back since the 1970s, when the Democrats really started embracing this radical environmentalism to the detriment of union jobs. All right, in some other news, since we're talking energy, a refinery in Great Falls, Montana, the Calumet Refinery, some big news for them regarding basically biofuels, right?
Right. They got a $1.44 billion loan from the U.S. Department of Energy to expand their renewable fuels facility that is Calumet subsidiary, owned by Calumet subsidiary, Montana Renewables. And this company makes aviation fuel from agriculture products. And they are expected to increase annual production of that fuel to 300 million gallons more a year, and 330 million gallons of a combined aviation fuel and renewable diesel. So, some of that production is expected to come online in 2026. So, a spokesman for the company said this is essentially the largest agriculture investment in Montana history and will double the company's purchases of seed oils and tallow from approximately 1.5 billion pounds per year to 3 billion pounds per year. So this is a big expansion and big news for Montana.
Yeah, and so when you talk seed oils, that means our farmers can provide the products that make these fuels at the Calumet Refinery. We've talked with leadership from the Calumet Refinery in the past. Might have to get them back on the show for this update. But, of course, you got the news. This is very interesting. And then tallow, basically they can use beef fat or leftover cattle parts, if that's what you want to describe it, to convert into fuel and to convert into aviation fuel, which is what they've been doing. And now they're expanding on that with this federal grant. Very interesting stuff. Imagine if we had, a slaughterhouse, a meatpacking facility in Great Falls. We could get the good cuts of beef locally, and then they could throw the scraps and make some jet fuel out of it. All right, quick break. Back with more interesting information from Evelyn right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Back when I was a young student, we learned that life expectancy in the U.S. was a bit lower than our peer countries, but only a little. We also observed year over year how improvements in health, pharmaceutical breakthroughs, and other factors contributed to a steady rise in expected years of life, which was a tremendous achievement. But it gradually became apparent that expectancies weren't growing as fast here as in other countries. The gap grew to a full 3 years by 2015. Since that time, things have actually become even worse. Life expectancy stopped growing entirely in the U.S., and after COVID, it's actually declined, falling by 3 years since 2020. This amazing and alarming event hasn't gotten enough attention, especially since in our peer countries, the COVID impacts were comparatively minor. Vehicle accidents, homicides and suicides, opioid overdoses, all these have been cited as possible explanations. In the space of a few years, we've quietly undone all the progress that was made in 25 years. I'm Patrick Buck.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
President-elect Trump has surprised some by declaring that he wants to retake control of the Panama Canal and perhaps annex Greenland. Incoming National Security Advisor Congressman Mike Waltz said Sunday on ABC's This Week there are practical national security reasons why the moves make sense.
The general in charge of our Southern Command, Laura Richardson, testified last year about Chinese state-owned enterprises bidding and buying up portions of the canal, the ports on either side.
Waltz says 70% of U.S. shipping goes through the canal, including important military supplies. As for Greenland, Walt says there's concern about growing Russian influence in the Arctic.
Enough is enough of having our adversaries coming into our Western Hemisphere, threaten our national security.
Given you ask it, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
During Potato Expo in Orlando last week, I sat down with agriculture policy expert Randy Russell of the Russell Group from Washington, D.C., and he shared what the dynamics may look like for passing a farm bill this year, especially with Republicans holding a thin majority in both chambers.
Well, Lane, first of all, I think we have to recognize, so John Bozeman from Arkansas is going to be the chairman, but we're going to have a new ranking member, Debbie Stabenow, retired from Michigan. And Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota will take over as the ranking member. And the types of agriculture that Senator Klobuchar has is vastly different than the focus that Senator Stabenow had. And I think it represents more corn, soybeans, obviously a potato state. It's got a lot of livestock. It's the number one turkey-producing state, very big dairy state. So it's a much more traditional, what I would say, production agriculture state. Same thing over in the House. G.T. Thompson's chairman, but we have a new ranking member, Angie Craig from Minnesota, who is very interesting because her district has both significant rural counties but also suburban counties.
Randy Russell said that rural America expects a farm bill to be passed in 2025 after multiple years of delays. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, the more I talk to folks, the more I really feel like we are seeing just a massive amount of optimism about the American economy, enthusiasm for our country, albeit with the concern and the warning signs that we're seeing on the security front because of the last 4 years of open borders and failed foreign policy and so many weaknesses invited on so many different fronts. But that being said, just economically speaking, Evelyn, would you agree that, you know, here we are 1 week from President Trump's inauguration. I'll actually be in, I'll be probably in line next week at this time. David Noble's going to be in studio on Monday. I will probably be standing in the security line to attend the inauguration myself. But the more people I was just talking with an engineer friend over the weekend, and he just says, hey, work is really starting to pick up. And you know, before the election, people were kind of wondering. And Terrell Bracken with Fusion Fight League said he's seeing more enthusiasm on the business front out there as he's getting ready to put off another event with the Fusion Fights this Saturday night. Are you continuing to hear that same type of consumer and business optimism, Evelyn?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, just this morning, Inc. magazine announced that, while it may be weird to think so, the United States economy could be too strong. That's the takeaway that they got from the markets from how the markets reacted last week to the jobs report, which showed more people hiring and raising wages and others, more people joining the workforce. And they said that the Labor Statistics Bureau reported that the country increased the number of jobs in December by 256,000 when it was only expected to have 155,000. And, you know, I think that is really a huge reflection of the attitude that's changed in this country in just a month's time, or, yeah, just about a little over a month. But, yeah, there's just a lot going on, and people are just going out and producing like crazy, apparently.
Well, I think it also helps to have, I don't know if President Trump would like this this label or not, but to have a cheerleader in chief that's talking about the golden era of America that is about to come, that we're about to experience. He's not just talking about that because for himself, he's talking about how America is going to see a golden era because he knows what the American potential is, right? And he's not just some guy just, you know, puffing us up with fake musings here with talking points. He's delivered. He knows how to deliver, and people know it. In other kind of news that's out there, speaking, we were talking earlier about a couple of different energy topics, artificial intelligence, Bitcoin. I could see this Congress focusing on Bitcoin, for example, in particular, coming up with the sidebars for that. All of those things require a lot of energy. If we want to be the leaders in AI technology, that requires energy. I don't know if you saw this story recently. Northwestern Energy is actually looking to partner with some data centers and provide the power for those data centers that could be built here in Montana. And so, and just another sign that, yes, we need more energy, period.
Yeah, the need for energy in our future is just being projected as being absolutely huge. And I read a number of different commentaries and articles that are proclaiming that Bitcoin and AI are going to be the ones that put a nail in the climate coffin, because those are the two realms that are primarily driving the huge demand for more energy. And it's a demand that isn't remotely possible relying just on alternative sources. And I think that's rather amusing, because I think to see this emerging, because amusing to see this emerging, because many of those were among those who were demanding an end to fossil fuels, but they aren't going to be able to push their industries forward without fossil fuels. So it seems like they are running headlong into the wall of reality.
Great point all around. And off air during the break, you and I kind of you raised another good very important question, which is, like, you think about now, what are we, over 12,000 structures lost in these fires in Los Angeles? What impact is that having on the electric grid demand and so much more? All right, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal, always appreciate your coverage and your reporting, not just for the Big Sky Business Journal, but for joining us here every Monday as well. Great way to get our week started with some solid business news, and Evelyn's great insight as well. All right, 60-second Fox News update. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. A lot to talk about here on this Monday. Open for you. What do you want to talk about? 406-294-0970. Here's a headline. I just printed this one up here from thefederalist.com. This is what I want to talk about, but we've got a guest who's joining us at 8:40, so in about an hour. We're going to talk more about, what's the schedule looking like to confirm President Trump's nominees? So, but here's the headline, a great headline from thefederalist.com. Here we go. GOP senators can prove they know what time it is by confirming Trump's nominees. Stat. I'll read it again. GOP senators can prove they know what time it is by confirming Trump's nominee's stat. Spot on. I know Senator Tim Sheehy and Senator Steve Daines, both of Montana's United States senators, have been making this point already now about exactly why the Republican Senate is not only needs to get to work, but I believe is getting to work very quickly to get the ball rolling here before President Trump is sworn in. You know, the good news is President Trump is going to be sworn in 1 week from today. And yeah, you heard me right. We will be there for President Trump's inauguration. And then Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, I will have a live show from Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And then the rest of the week after that, we're going to have 3 days of live coverage from the SHOT Show. John Jackson will be sidekicking with me for the duration of the SHOT Show. It's going to be a great lineup there. We've already got AWR Hawkins with Breitbart News. He's their gun and gun rights correspondent. He's at the SHOT Show, I think, every year. He's already booked to drop by and join us on day one of our SHOT Show coverage. So that'll be great. But this is the point both of Montana's senators have been making. And it's what many of you have been, the point many of you have been making as well. Okay, look, the new senators were just sworn in, and the returning senators were just sworn in January 3rd, 10 days ago. President Trump isn't sworn in until a week from now, but Republicans now already have control of the United States Senate. So this week, they are going to start holding these confirmation hearings for President Trump's nominees. They're not waiting until after president. Typically, they would wait till after the president is sworn in, and then the president would roll out his nominees, and then eventually they'd swear these people in. No, given the national security threats that are out there, the threats facing this country on all fronts, by the way, as Biden's own FBI director said last summer, the lights are blinking everywhere. Everywhere he sees blinking lights, meaning there are threats like he has never seen before facing this country. And we all know it's because of the failures of the Biden tester regime over the past 4 years in particular. But Senator Steve Daines, Senator Sheehy, and the rest of the Republicans are saying we're moving forward with confirmation hearings this week so that when President Trump is sworn in, he can hit the ground running to get this country back on track and to start securing America once again. Mike and Big Timber on the phone line. Standby.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you right now, 406-294-0970. In fact, I just saw an email from one of our listeners in Park County wanting us to remind folks about a big meeting coming up. Now, I forget, was it tonight or tomorrow? Anyway, and now I can read his email. Well, hey, even better yet, I said, hey, call in. Why don't you tell us why this meeting is so important in your own words and what folks need to know. So, if that person is listening right now, give us a call, 406-294-0970. First up, great to have Mike in Big Timber back on the phone lines with us here. Mike, what's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. What do you think the environmentalists and all these people about clean air think about what's going on over there in L.A.?
I think they don't even think about it. I don't even think the idea even dawns on them. And if it does, they don't want to say squat about it because they don't actually care
about.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah.
Well, think about all these structures, these businesses that have gone up, the homes, the toxic fumes that are going into the air. Not to mention the heavy particulates that are going to be scattered everywhere. And another thing, you know that they had this problem with the water shortage. Think about, it was a while back that they wanted to build desalinization plants offshore. But the environmentalists came in and said, no, you're going to harm the marine life and it'll get sucked into the intakes. And they stopped the construction on one that was, I think it was about halfway done. And they just stopped it. So they they caused the problem. They really did. And another thing, too, is, Aaron, a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned the fact that people coming from California to Montana, the numbers have declined slightly. I can imagine it's going to go up. And, of course, L.A. being a warm weather climate, they may go to Arizona, Texas, Florida. But to rebuild, the mayor said, well, we're going to issue permits as quickly as possible. I ain't buying that. You know how many permits they're going to need to rebuild all those businesses and homes? It's going to be monumental.
Yeah, 10,000, 12,000 plus structures have been lost in Los Angeles. And, yeah, a lot of those people may just decide to just get the heck out of there. I mean, a lot of people already have. And where do they go? We've started to see. I mean, yeah, but to your point, yeah, I can't remember if it was on Friday's show, what it was, when it was, but I posed that question. I mean, could you imagine being a firefighter fighting a fire in Montana, you know, out in the back country, where you've just got, you know, burning trees, right? Compared to the Battle of Los Angeles, where you are, you know, potentially breathing in all sorts of toxic, you know, smoke and fumes because of the whole witch's brew of stuff that's going in there. Right. And so, but golly, these hypocritical, do nothing, make everything worse. They don't actually do anything that ever actually helps the environment, yet they call themselves environmentalists. They only make everything worse. And because they never have a solution for anything. Their job is to oppose everything. Their job is to oppose your job. Their job is to shut down you. Their job is to be anti-human, anti-people, because that's their profit scheme. That's how they make money. They don't make money by actually helping the environment. And so that's why they can oppose forest land management practices that are good for the environment, because they make money by opposing good land management practices. And when the environment ends up way worse because of the toxic chemicals that are in the air because of everything going up in smoke, they never get called to account for it by so many in the media, and then they just move on to the next thing.
Aaron, have you heard if Bridger Aerospace has sent any equipment or people over there to help fight it? Because I've seen pictures that they're scooping out of the ocean and dumping salt water on this.
Yeah.
And somebody told me they're laying their hoses into the ocean to fight it with salt water.
I was talking with a firefighter friend over the weekend and just how outrageous it is what's going on with the fire department leadership in LA and how woke they've gotten and everything. I said, hey, what's your take on all this as a firefighter? And there's a lot of Montana firefighters. Let's see, there's some Missoula firefighters. I think, where did I see? Was it Columbus firefighters? I know I've got the headline here. Anyway, a lot of Montana firefighters. Oh, Columbus and Red Lodge fire crews are among the Montana teams headed to California. That was a KTVQ television headline there. And so, yeah, a number of ground crews are headed that way right now. As far as air crews, I'm not tracking, but I know a number of these super scooper airplanes, just like the ones that Bridger has in Belgrade, are in the air and they're scooping up ocean water and whatever. But this firefighter friend was telling me, I said, well, what's your read on all this, you know, from a firefighter's perspective? And he says, you know, the fact that they claim they didn't know, or they didn't have a backup plan for that Palisades water reservoir that was offline and completely empty. Like, how do you, he's like, you know, when I was with the fire department, and I don't, since I didn't use his, to get his permission to, you know, give specifics here, I won't say which city or fire department he was with, but he's like, every day when our leadership was briefed, if there was one fire hydrant that wasn't working, that was in the commander's daily briefing. So you mean to tell me that your entire water supply practically was out of commission and the fire chief's like, oh, well, I didn't know, or didn't do anything about that? I mean, just the sheer incompetence of these woke DEI leaders.
Well, they also cut the amount of fire stations within the L.A. area. I think it was something like 16 or something like that. They shut down. It's just to save money. And then, of course, they slashed the budget. The mayor slashed the budget.
And then they had one of the top fire department leaders in L.A. It wasn't the chief herself, but one of the other you know, they brag about having all these lesbians in charge of all of their fire department stuff there. And one of them, she was on camera saying, well, people ask me, well, what if you can't carry my husband out of a fire? And she says, well, my response is he shouldn't have gotten himself into that position in the first place. She should be fired on the spot for that. I mean, my absolutely. Goodness.
Absolutely. Just one more reminder before I go. You're going to head into Washington, D.C. Just a reminder, leave Schumer alone.
Yeah. And keep your head on a swivel. My swivel, goodness, yeah. Given the lack of security in this country right now with the open borders and more. All right, Mike, great to hear from you. Appreciate the call. Sean in Livingston, that's who sent me the email just a few minutes ago. Sean, hey, thanks for calling in, Sean. So, big meeting in Livingston first. Give us the details on that, and then we can talk more.
Yeah, the meeting, excuse me, the Department of Health meeting is tomorrow evening at 5:30 at the courthouse community room. And what it involves is the Department of Health has got a proposal. It's updating their quarantine, isolation and quarantine plan. And in essence, it goes through the steps that they would need to take to ensure public safety should a pandemic or virus is out there.
And basically, like, their response, and I need to reach out and see if I can get somebody from there on the show, but their response basically is like they want to go even crazier than they did the last time around with COVID-19. They want to have the ability to really, you know, force a lot of crazy stuff, right?
Yes. The previous meeting in October was pretty heated. I watched the video. I wasn't present. But it, in the proposal, it like I said in the email, original email I sent to you, it can lead up to involuntary quarantine. What that entails is yet to be seen. Last week I reached out to the Park County Sheriff's Department to find out their stance on where they sit as far as this proposal. I've yet to hear back. I was going to try to reach out to them again today because they would be directly involved in the enforcement of that. But it's kind of scary because they're really trying to push this.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, folks, you know, when the plan started getting rolled out, everybody was outraged, right? Rightfully so. And we're like, why are they doing this stuff? Why are they doing this? Why? Although some of that stuff wasn't even in written plans. They just followed the stupidity from Fauci and on. But here's the thing. Don't let them get a bad bump. Now, I haven't seen all the details of this plan myself, but we want to be cautious that a bad plan doesn't get put in place because, boy, if they find an excuse to start rolling out that plan, it's a little late to start opposing it then after the fact, right? So that meeting time again, what time are you encouraging folks to be there? Where and when again, Sean?
It's 5:30 tomorrow evening at Park County Courthouse Community Room. I have a copy of the proposed plan. I can forward that to you this morning, Aaron, so you have an idea.
Yeah, please do. That'd be great. I appreciate it. All right, I got to take another quick break. We got John and Bozeman on the phone lines next. Sean, thanks for the call. I'm going to shoot a note to the Park County Health Department, too, to see if somebody wants to join us on air or give a response, et cetera. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey there, Ryan Reynolds here. It's a new year, and you know what that means. No, not the diet. Resolutions. A way for us all to try and do a little bit better than we did last year. And my resolution, unlike Big Wireless, is to not be a raging and raise the price of wireless on you every chance I get. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited. See mintmobile.com for details.
Fox News commentary.
Sonny Hostin's husband is in hot water, but don't expect to hear about it on The View. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
The world of business moves fast. Stay on top of it with the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday. Fox Business reporters, anchors, and hosts will bring you beneath the stock market speculation and boardroom drama to tell you about the biggest business stories of today. Whether you're on Main Street or Wall Street, Fox Business is invested in you.
Listen to the Fox Business Rundown every Monday and Friday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
The View's Sonny Hostin, who by my estimation is now the most insufferable person on the show, had a lot of fun poking jabs at Donald Trump for being a convicted felon. But to my knowledge, she has yet to comment on her own family business. Her husband, Emmanuel Hostin, an orthopedic surgeon, stands accused of insurance fraud in a major lawsuit alongside more than 180 other defendants. According to this sweeping lawsuit, those involved were allegedly getting kickbacks for performing surgeries and then fraudulently billing the insurance company that serves Uber, Lyft, and other taxi companies. Well, isn't that something? In all of Sonny's huffing and puffing and ranting and disparagement of Donald Trump and others, she conveniently forgot to look within her own home. For the record, her husband's attorney denies all the claims, and in America, you are innocent until proven guilty. But Sonny, perhaps those who live in glass houses should not throw stones. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies and some scattered flurries or a snow shower around the area early today. High temperature readings will otherwise stay from the mid-20s in Bozeman to the mid-30s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures will head back in the mid-teens in Bozeman, mid-20s in Billings. On Tuesday, some sunshine develops with highs in the lower to middle 30s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, talking about these fires down in Southern California, Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, newly sworn in senator. He's a Navy SEAL veteran. He's also an aerial firefighter. He weighed in with some incredible interviews on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox News. Plus, he was on with Mark Levin right here on this radio station. If you missed either of those interviews, check out our Montana Talks podcast. And we had some of the highlights for you, both in the 6 o'clock and the 8 o'clock hours of the show. Full audio on the Montana Talks app.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. There's a way that the House of Representatives can bring a bill to the floor quickly and with limited debate time. The measure requires a two-thirds vote to pass. It's called suspension of the rules. The House uses the procedure all the time, but that could change in the 119th Congress. The House approved its overall rules package for congressional operations recently. It maintains the suspension of the rules, but now the House can only handle suspension bills on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. The rule limiting suspension votes to Monday through Wednesday was in place prior to 2021 when House Democrats changed it for the 117th Congress. The new rule change also contains a quirk that didn't exist in the old pre-117th Congress limitation. Under the old Monday to Wednesday rule, House members could still take up bills under suspension during the last 6 days of the legislative session. If this new rule would have been in place last year, the House would not have been able to take up the current stopgap spending.
Now that's 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, look at that. That's why we love getting your phone calls. That's why we love getting your messages. Mike in Big Timber asked a really good question. Several good questions and good points a few minutes ago. One of the questions he asked, he says, hey, do we know if Bridger Aerospace, the company founded by now Senator Tim Sheehy, in Belgrade, if they are sending aircraft down to support the Battle of Los Angeles. Kat in Sydney, thanks for listening. Thanks for the great message. Kat says this, yes, Bridger Aerospace is on their way to Cali. Report via NBC Montana. Yeah, Bridger Aerospace is sending their super scoopers down to California at the request of the state, because, you know, these types of resources need to be requested through official channels, fire channels, et cetera. A lot of us in the West are kind of familiar with that because of, you know, when, you know, we deal with fire season every year here in Montana. So, Kat, thanks for that update. I hadn't seen that story yet. Let's go to John in Bozeman on the phone lines. John, what's on your mind?
Hey, did anyone learn anything from Lahaina, Hawaii issues? Same thing. No water, no reservoir, really no plan, and no differential soundings or warnings and stuff from tsunami to fire.
Yeah. Did they not know, or do they just don't care? Right? Yeah, I mean, how many times do these things have to keep happening before,
people finally open their eyes before, I don't know.
Well, you know what it's called? It's called complacency. And when I was in the service working on aircraft, the one thing they told us was complacency will kill you.
Yeah, I think part of it is complacency. I think also, but I think the bigger problem here, complacency can get anybody, right?
Right.
You know, but I think it is ideology. I think their ideology first. Tim Sheehy, Donald Trump are talking about America first. The fire chiefs of Los Angeles, the city of Los Angeles, the city, the government of California, the Bidens, it is ideology above all else. DEI, woke stuff, environmental radicalism, and it's ideology that blinds them to everything else.
And they wanted, how many billions of dollars for this super speed railway?
That went nowhere, right?
Went nowhere. And they wanted more money.
Well, look at what they were doing in California last week. They had we've been talking a lot about our Montana legislature and the legislative session. They had a special session of the California legislature last week. While the Battle of Los Angeles is underway, while the fires are raging in Los Angeles, they had a special session of the California legislature. Not to address fires and funding and land management policies. They had a special session with how to Trump-proof the state of California. How to protect the illegals that have flooded into California. That's, again, they are blinded by their ideology on all fronts. Thanks for the call, John.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Back when I was a young student, we learned that life expectancy in the U.S. was a bit lower than our peer countries, but only a little. We also observed year over year how improvements in health, pharmaceutical breakthroughs, and other factors contributed to a steady rise in expected years of life, which was a tremendous achievement. But it gradually became apparent that expectancies weren't growing as fast here as in other countries. The gap grew to a full 3 years by 2015. Since that time, things have actually become even worse. Life expectancy stopped growing entirely in the U.S., and after COVID, it's actually declined, falling by 3 years since 2020. This amazing and alarming event hasn't gotten enough attention, especially since in our peer countries, the COVID impacts were comparatively minor. Vehicle accidents, homicides and suicides, opioid overdoses, all these have been cited as possible explanations. In the space of a few years, we've quietly undone all the progress that was made in 25 years. I'm Patrick Buck.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.